This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And now, I guess, the story behind the song, because we were so happy to have on the program on Tuesday Haley Woolbright, and we played a couple of her songs, and I want to thank all of you for sending me emails about it. I thought that was so cool to have her on, a wonderful young woman, a great songwriter, and I predict a big future for her. And maybe later on, we might have Boxcar up and run it, just play a few minutes of it if I have some time. But I just want a couple of things say. If you have any more comments about people that you want me to invite, and Haley, I invited because of your emails, just go to my website. It's radio-joyonpaper, www.radio-joyonpaper, and there's a form on the bottom of the front page, and you can fill in there the name of the person that you want me to invite or comments about a particular author, and I will be happy to invite them. And if you want, you might even be invited to join in on the talk. You can call in while I am talking to a famous author, your favorite author. So I always love to hear about the books that you're reading, if you started writing, and I got a few nice messages from people who did start NaNoWriMo at the beginning of the month, and they are, well, a little bit more than midway through it, and they're very, very excited about that. It's their first time that they've done any writing, and both of these people who wrote me said they didn't think they could do it, and they're still not sure, but they've kept up. They've done a certain number of pages every day, and that's what you have to do. NaNoWriMo is a contest for people, and the winner is the winner, the person who finished. You know, when you start a project and you are assigned a task and they tell you 50,000 words in 30 days, because there are 30 days in November, you can do it. It's up to you, and this is one of the things that I've learned from talking to all of the best-selling authors that over the past 5 years, I've talked to over 500 authors, and all of them have one thing to say. Success has come to them because they were dedicated, because they persevered, because they didn't let anything stop them. And now, because today's a very special day, and Thanksgiving is coming up, and I always make this the season for National Geographic, because for over 100 years, they have brought us the world and put it right here at our fingertips. And so I am so happy today to talk to, well, Shelby Lees. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, well, that's, you know, it's so wonderful to talk to you. The new book, The Coolest Stuff on Earth, is, oh, it's so good. But, you know, with all of you people at Nat Geo, I am in awe of the work that you do for over 100 years. People across the country and across the world have looked forward to receiving that beautiful yellow magazine. And for people like me, I come from a small area in northern Michigan, that magazine really literally brought the world to me and to the entire family. So special thanks to all of you people. And for this new book, it is a hoot.
Yeah, and it covers the whole world.
It does. Oh, I often tell people, I tell all of you guys over there, you know, you get paid to do the most wonderful thing that all of us would just love to do for nothing. And you actually get paid for it. My goodness, isn't that exciting?
It is. I feel so lucky every single day at this job.
Oh, it is amazing. And of course, you are a senior editor at National Geographic Kids Books. And I want to tell people that I have Nat Geo Kids as the on my computer, an icon, so that that's one of the first things I open up in the morning. Before I do emails, before I face the world, let's put it this way. Before I face the world, I need the Nat Geo Kids website, which is filled with always there's something cute on it, and it just calms me down for a few minutes.
I love that. That's a great way to start the day.
It is. Believe me, especially in this pandemic-y time. Well, you know, where do we start with this book? There's so many wonderful things. For me, I sort of stopped at the Fabergé eggs. Knowing that there are still some out there, it means hope does not die with me. Maybe if I really am diligent, one day. Tell us about the Fabergé eggs. How did somebody find one?
Isn't that absolutely incredible? I was also not aware that there are some still out there. I think it's just a matter of luck, maybe. Since all the experts have been keeping their eyes open for it, I'm sure they'll turn up somewhere.
Wow. And wouldn't it be wonderful? Of course, the photographs are beautiful. So tell us a little bit about the history of the eggs for people who, I don't know anyone who's got one, but I've seen quite a few in museums over the years.
Yeah, so the Fabergé eggs actually started as Easter gifts given by Alexander III, the Romanov Emperor of Russia. Well, one of them. There were, I think about 300 years of Romanov. And actually, giving decorated eggs was a tradition just as it is now. And so the Romanovs actually hired Fabergé to make these absolutely stunning eggs. In the book, we picture the clover leaf egg, which is covered in, as you can guess, jeweled clover leaf. There's also an absolutely gorgeous Lily of the Valley egg, which was Nicholas's wife, Alexandra's, her favorite Fabergé egg. And there is one that's, a adorable little box that includes a little golden carriage inside of it. So each one is incredibly unique and incredibly intricately designed with jewels by Fabergé, and they're just absolutely stunning.
Oh, and the photographs, of course, Nat Geo has the best photographers in the world. And that the cloverleaf one, particularly, I was looking at that one for a long time because my mother was, she had this incredible knack of finding a four-leaf clover. You could sit her down in a field, and in within minutes, she would find the four-leaf clover. And it used to drive my dad crazy. Because he would try. He would look and look. But all he'd have to do, take my mother on a picnic, and right there, she'd just sort of look over. And she'd just pick it up like magic. And so I love this clover egg. Oh, and where do we start? The funny thing is I love the animal ones. I really love animal ones. And I wanted to talk of just a few minutes. How do you select? I mean, you have so many pictures to go over in this at Nat Geo. How many millions now do you have?
Oh, so many. We have on top of the world's most amazing photographers, we have the most amazing photo editors whose job it is to go through all of those photos to find the exact right one to illustrate every single fact.
Well, right across the board, I love the octopus one. What a beautiful, beautiful photo that is. Tell us about the gold. Tell us about why gold. A lot of people, because I did a book about astronauts once, or a movie about astronauts once, I know about the gold shield. But I actually got to put on one. But tell us about that.
Yeah, so people might be really surprised to know that astronauts' shields on their helmets are coated in gold. And it's not just because they look pretty, but because gold is a super reflective element, which of course we know because we love gold for jewelry because it's so shiny and pretty. But, you know, out there in space, it's really important for the sun's rays, which are so much stronger without the atmosphere to protect you, that they get reflected away from the astronauts' eyes so that they don't hurt their vision and hurt their eyes. So, yeah, it adds just a really beautiful sheen to the helmets and to the photos of the astronauts, but it's for an actual scientific reason.
And, of course, it's gorgeous. It looks gorgeous. And as I said, I did a script for a movie about an astronaut, Walt Cunningham, who flew with Apollo, and it was wonderful. I got a back of the, you know, back scene visit to Johnson Space Center, and so I actually had one of those on, and that was pretty exciting for me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then I turned to one I sent already, my brother's birthday's in a few days. I already ordered one of these for him because on page 125, there's a tarantula. And when he was a kid, he's a little kid, like 4 years old, I took him to a tarantula movie. And it, for the rest of his life, and still today, and he's no longer a kid, he's terrified of tarantulas. So I put a little note in there, be careful, a page 150. Just, I don't want to trigger you, you know. But again, tell us about that, the tropical rainforest page. I think that's a wonderful page.
Yeah, well, you know, people are pretty nervous around tarantulas. They are big, hairy, scary spiders. But the fact we actually include about the tarantula on that page is that scientists found this one species of tarantula that cohabitates with a frog. And, you know, they live together. You'd think the tarantula would eat the frog, especially since they're known to be pretty ferocious predators. But they think that the frog eats ants that would eat tarantula eggs. So it's a really nice mutualistic relationship that they have, and a really surprising one.
Well, again, this page is one of my favorite pages. But there's a page that I stopped at and I looked at for, I think, half an hour. And that is the one, 100, page 100, which is perfect. It's the amethyst. This is so incredible. My sister was born in February. I was born in March. And my birthstone is that aquamarine thing. It's just not gorgeous. But I love amethyst. And I always wanted amethyst gifts. It's, you know, people give you these, you know, birthday gifts. I wanted the amethyst. This is an incredible photo. This amethyst is enormous. It's humongous.
Yeah, it's 11 feet tall, which is absolutely stunning. I was born in February, so it's my birthstone too.
Oh, you
and I would love this in my house.
Wow. I have a small geode of an amethyst because, as I said, I love them. I think you can really get lost in them just looking at the geodes with amethyst. And this one, oh boy, you could lay down inside of it. It's so big.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. When you saw that one, did it sort of take your breath away?
It did. You know, it doesn't look real because it is so tall and so packed full of little tiny amethyst crystals. It looks like, how could there be so much inside of what looks like a rock pillar?
Yeah, isn't it? It's this kind of thing is such a miracle. You sometimes imagine, you know, when now, you know, we know where they come from, but can you imagine what the original people thought when they found something like this? Like, wow, it's a rock. Inside is this magic.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine just finding what looks like a rock and breaking it open to find such beautiful, sparkly, colorful stone?
Well, I have tried that. In Georgia, when my son used to go up to summer camp, my husband and I would always, let's just say, I wasn't the kind of mother who could just say, go away for a month, kid. It was too traumatic for me. So we ended up spending at least a week up there so I could peek in at the camp just to make sure he was okay. Oh, what the heck. But one of the things we did is we'd go around in Georgia and look for stones. And they do have, but nothing dramatic like that one. Wow. Oh. Just for that one alone, I would buy this book. And talking about this book, I just want to say to you, as always, Nat Geo books are so beautifully done. The paper is so gorgeous. The layouts are so beautiful. I love all the little inserts you do. Everything's so clever and smart. And you learn so much without ever feeling like you're learning so much. But you come away from this book, particularly, I think, with such a wide-ranging knowledge of subjects.
Yeah, we've got everything from a toilet museum in India to amethyst and pizza covered in gold.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that one. Now, did they, as a senior editor, do they like tell you, well, you're going to put this in the book, so maybe you should go ahead and order one and just try it out. they didn't let you do that, huh?
I've tried to expense that before, and yeah, for some reason it just keeps getting rejected.
Yeah, because it only costs how much?
It costs $2,700.
$2,700. And I mean, are there people who would actually eat that? Well, I suppose with...
I was talking with my husband about that last night. It was like... I guess for the novelty of it, maybe if someone else pays.
Well, for me, the stuffed crust pizza is as expensive as I will get. But, of course, there are people I just had, of course, on Sotheby's wine. And those people pay $300,000 for a bottle of wine. So I guess a pizza like that's nothing. That's chump change.
Sure, that sounds like a perfect Saturday night.
Yeah, sure. During the pandemic, I'm sure there are people. Actually, there are people stuck in penthouses in New York who don't want to use the elevators. They're so scared. So they're ordering everything in. I read about a couple of people who, they've been in their penthouse since March. They haven't come out.
Oh,
they don't
wow.
go downstairs. And they hire people to take their dogs down. And they don't want to go in the elevators. So they probably can order something like this,
Yeah.
Well, and they should.
Well, I hope it's insured.
Oh, yeah. And they should actually order also the book. Because this book, which is called, I repeat it so everybody can hear, it's called The Coolest Stuff on Earth, A Closer Look at the Weird, Wild, and Wonderful. And you have found weird, you have found wild, and you have definitely found wonderful. One of them is that I love is the lowdown on a giraffe's long neck. And the reason I like this one is that I have a 16-foot giraffe outside of my front door. I've always loved giraffes. And so I have this very beautiful sculpture of a 16-foot giraffe. He guards me. His name is George. I say good morning to him every morning, good night to him every time I go in. So tell us about this beautiful picture, a wonderful picture, a giraffe with a baby giraffe.
Yeah, well, so one thing that people might be really surprised to know is that giraffes, even with their very long neck, have the same number of vertebrae as humans do. We all just have 7 vertebrae in our neck. Giraffes are, of course, much longer. scientists really aren't sure why giraffes have such long necks. Of course, it helps them reach leaves in the tall parts of the trees that other animals can't get to. But on the other hand, it makes it really hard for them to do things like bend down to drink water.
Well, it is a beautiful photograph, and seeing the little baby there, it's so cute, it's so adorable. And there's one page after page, whether we look at the snakes, the owls, dogs, you know, it's just, everything is so fantastic in this book.
Oh, well, you know, we love it too, and really for us, when we have a book that makes us say, whoa, I didn't know that, then we know everyone else is going to love it too.
Oh, and you have discovered things that, and subjects, as you said, that we've heard about, but we didn't know. For example, one of the things, I love the ancient places one. Tell us about some of this, because I had no idea about Angkor Wat and how many people or elephants they needed to build this place.
Yeah, you know, people have heard of Angkor Wat. We know it as the temple in Cambodia. But scientists recently discovered this gigantic city just in the woods right behind it. And, you know, it was a really sophisticated city. It took, I think, you know, nearly 6,000 elephants to build it, 300,000 people, and it had a population of 750,000 people, which, you know, is pretty incredible for a 900-year-old city.
It's amazing when you think, you have to stop and think about that. 750,000 people, that's a very major city. And they must have had infrastructure and all of this, because they certainly were talented builders. It's incredible what they built there. And it's you know, in this time of this sort of pandemic, and we don't know where the world's going and what's happening, you look back and you say, well, there was this civilization there that could do that. You know, well, I don't know what they're going to be looking at for, you know, 1,000 years from now, back at us. But that section, I love. There's another one that particularly hit me. It's Machu Picchu. I love the photograph. I've seen many photographs. My husband actually went to Machu Picchu before he married me, because if he had gone and we were married and he didn't take me, I wouldn't have talked to him. But before, the year before we met, he was in Machu Picchu, and he has lovely photographs from there. But I love the angle that this one is shot at. And we have a road here in our area that they have been building, this road, since we moved here, like 19 years ago. 19 years, the same road, over and over. They built it over and over. It's a straight road. You know, it went from 3 lanes to 4 lanes. It's taken them 19 years. And these people built this Machu Picchu in the middle of nowhere on the most crazy mountain in the world. Isn't it gorgeous? Have you been there?
Isn't it? I have not, but I would love to go. It looks like such an incredible place. And as you said, you know, in the book, we were able to find an angle looking at it that isn't the one you usually see, which is very cool to be able to see it from a completely different perspective.
Well, the book is beautiful. And I just want to tell you and everybody that Shelby Lees has the best job in the world. I mean, like, whoa, you can do this all day. Just, and your head must be so filled with all these ideas and visions, and you always come out with something new and something exciting every year. And I want to thank you so much for being, you know, on Joy on Paper. I'm making this actually a Nat Geo Day, because at Thanksgiving, I believe everybody should buy for themselves at least one Nat Geo book and send them as gifts, or in the older days when we actually visited people on Thanksgiving, bring them a Nat Geo book instead of everybody has flowers and everybody has, you know, wine. That's easy. That doesn't take thought. But a Nat Geo book, to think of what your friends or family, which book would be perfect for them, that shows thought. And now everybody should really go out, make Nat Geo synonymous with Thanksgiving Day, because we have to be thankful for over 100 years of Nat Geo and people like you who put together these wonderful books.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, we really think that everybody will find something to love in these books, because we certainly do.
Well, you've been a wonderful guest, and I want to thank you again for being on. Every time you have a book, you have to come on, because we love talking to you. And I just want, again, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And National Geographic, thank you again for sending these books. Not only do I get to read them, I get to use them for exercise, because they're so heavy. Okay, and I'm in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about Drives of a Lifetime. And as you know, that is a pretty fantastic book, too.
Awesome.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. This book is great. You really should buy it. It's ridiculously cheap. I mean, I pay a fortune for it, and it's like a gift that will last a lifetime. Nobody ever throws out a Nat Geo book. We're going to go to commercial, and I'll be right back with a Nat book, National Geographic's Drives of a Lifetime.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660, or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with the Z, and I am back. And again, I have turned this day into a National Geographic Day, and I was just so happy to talk to Shelby Lees a few minutes ago about her wonderful book, The Coolest Stuff on Earth. This book is for everybody. It's not age-specific. Anybody who wants to know anything, anybody who wants to have fun, it is a perfect gift to send for Thanksgiving. Of course, the holidays are coming up, and you will really, really they will be so grateful to you, because, you know, this is a very difficult time. It's for everybody. It's a very, very difficult time. And there are so many people who will not be able to be visiting at Thanksgiving. They will be alone. And a book is a perfect, perfect gift to just fill that day. And you want to fill that day for those of us who have family who cannot come down for their normal Thanksgiving holidays. It's really difficult. And if you have an empty day with sort of nothing new to think about, it can get really pretty depressing. But if you send a Nat Geo book as a gift, this book will arrive, and they will open it up, and these books are so beautiful, and it'll be right there on their coffee table, and instead of just feeling lonely, they will have a book to comfort them, because books do that. Books are what really reach across time and space. A gift I have books that were gifted to me when I was a child, and I those are precious, precious treasures to me. And I keep them, and every once in a while I will open them. I have some Helen McGinnis books that I open, and there's, you know, an inscription from somebody who gave it to me for my birthday. I have books, and my husband only a few times bought me a book where he actually wrote inside, because he was always worried that I would worry that the value would be gone. So, he would write inside, and so there were a few books from him that are dedicated to me. And I want to, again, go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com, and we will, you know, invite authors that you want on the program. I don't know if the next caller's on the phone yet. Is she on? She's going to be on in 1 minute. And remember that there is a Nat Geo book for everything. The ballet book is one of my favorites. Now, I tried ballet when I was young, but I was really a tomboy. But I look at this ballet book, and it's so beautiful. And you wish you could go back and I could have given up the paper. No, I don't know if I could have, but I really, it's so beautiful to look at. And there's a book for everybody. I love all of the African books. Anything set in Africa, the safari, photographic safari books, the tiger book, the lion book, the elephant book. And of course, I love giraffes. So any book that has a giraffe in it, which is why I was so thrilled when I was reading the book called The Coolest Stuff on Earth, because, of course, there's a beautiful picture of a giraffe in there. And then, I'm just thinking about turning these pages of the next book. The next book I have is called, it reminds me of so many things, so many of my trips. I started traveling. I wanted to travel from the time I was a little girl because of the National Geographic magazines that came to our house. I was traveling the world in my mind from the time I was a little kid. I was going around the world and imagining all of these places. And I must say that many of the places that are in this book I have been to, because I worked hard when I was young. I started working from the time I was seven, and I was saving my money always to take a trip. I wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to see something. And so it's really a great thing to be able to do that with books. Right now, we cannot travel. Nobody's going to be taking any trips to Europe. Although I think now it's getting to a point where we can travel around the United States. And so there are many, in this book, there are many places within the United States where you can travel. And that's you know, something so fantastic. So I'm just waiting for the editor who did this wonderful book. And we will have her on in a few minutes, I think. Drives of a Lifetime. But we'll see. I don't know. She's not on yet. Meanwhile, I want to talk to you again about Publishers Weekly. If you are looking for an agent, if you are looking for an agent, the best place to find one is Publishers. Okay, I'm just waiting. Okay, well, finally. Okay, this is exciting. I am really happy to welcome Allison Johnson. Allison, are you on? Is Allison there? Okay, yeah. We're going to have Allison in a minute, because as I was just saying, on these drives, so many of them actually I have done because thanks to the fact that I've been reading National Geographic magazines since before I could read, actually, probably. I was looking at the pictures. And, you know, when you come from a sort of a poor, we were poor. I think our biggest expenditure probably was the National Geographic subscription, because that's the only thing that we we had coming in the house. We didn't have any other magazines coming in the house. The rest of my reading as a child was mostly from comic books. We could afford comic books, and so that's how I learned to read. And it was funny that David Miller was on the program 2 weeks ago, and he was a fantastic young man who wrote his first book at the age of 10. Oh, hello, are you there?
I'm here, hi.
Okay, Allison, okay, we couldn't hear you. Are you, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, well, I'm so glad that you're here because I just finished, I was telling my listeners that I turned this into a Nat Geo day because I believe that people should give Nat Geo books at Thanksgiving. They are the most perfect gifts. And we should all be thankful to National Geographic for the work that you've done for over 100 years to bring the world to us. And this new book called Drives of a Lifetime is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really an exciting book with 500 drives around the world. So it's one of the best travel books National Geographic has to offer.
Wow. And you get to go through all of Nat Geo's photographs and decide which stories to bring to us. And of course, for me, as I was telling my audience, I started reading Nat Geo before I actually could read, just looking at the pictures. And it sent me on a world of travel. I have been traveling since I was 19 years old. I started traveling. And I've been to many of the places that are in this book. And it's one of them, of course, was close to my hometown of Northern Michigan. It's Wisconsin's North Woods. But there are so many wonderful trips in here. I don't know, where do you want to start?
Oh my gosh, like you said, there's so much. And I think, you know, some of the greatest trips are the ones in your own backyard. For me, I'm in the Maryland, Virginia area. And one of my favorites is the Skyline Drive that goes through Shenandoah National Forest. And this time of year, when the leaves are changing, it's absolutely stunning. And we have drives like that throughout the book that meet your needs for every season and every type of travel that you want to have.
And in this pandemic-y time, when we're not going to probably be traveling overseas, this is a perfect way to just, in your mind, you sit there, you look at these pictures, and you're traveling. It's so wonderful. It makes your life so interesting to have all these visions in your head.
Yeah, you know, it's escapism from what we're going through right now. And I like to tell everyone, take this book, dream now, make your bucket list, and then go later when it's safe to do so. And so you can turn through every page of this book, escape through the pictures, escape through the stories, and then soon enough we'll hopefully be able to all travel to each of these destinations.
And I love the way that you've done it, where you have by sections, for example, 10 fishing coasts. So for people who are interested in fishing, you can go right to this section, and it tells you 10 of the greatest fishing areas in the world, and some of them, quite a few I've been to. So it's just a wonderful way to lay out the story for people.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we really try to make sure there was a trip for everyone in this book. So we do have a lot of top 10 lists throughout that really go by the type of traveler. So we have those fishing routes. We have foodie routes. We have routes for history buffs or people who want to see battlefields. We even have a top 10 list for music tours that if you want to go to the home of jazz or the home of rock and roll, we have a drive for that, too.
Oh, it is beautifully done. I love the Untamed Roads one. not that I would go on some of those roads, I can tell you. You could not pay me to do those roads, but the photographs are fantastic.
Yeah, you know, those road trips are for the adrenaline seekers who really love adventure. But, you know, there are calmer routes as well. So there's something, you know, if you don't want to take the adventure of ATV or four-wheeling, there's something for you here, too.
Well, I love the ones set in England because I lived in England for quite a few years. And there's one called Two Cotswold Drives. And I've been to all of those villages along the way. I've been to every one of them, I think. And so I was looking at it, and it brought back the memories of those trips that I took in that area, and the pubs that I drank at, quite a few actually. I looked at all, it's so funny. I looked at the names of the towns. I said, oh yeah, I've been there. Oh yeah, yeah, there was a, oh yeah, Shirlington, definitely that pub. And Painswick, I was in that pub. I didn't know what that says about my youth, but a lot of it, definitely. And of course, in the ones in France, for anyone who loves wine and wine country, you know, there's everything in this book.
Yeah, there really is. And, you know, one of the fun things I had in helping put this book together was as the road trip ideas were coming in from our National Geographic travel writers, it was fun to not just see the ones that I hope to do one day, but just like you, I was sitting there saying, I did that. I did that. I know what they're talking about. And so, you know, one of those for me was the road to Hana in Maui, Hawaii, where you're driving down this secluded, winding road through rainforest. You have these waterfalls to stop in and swim in, and you have black sand beaches and red sand beaches, and you end up at the oceanside town of Hana. And I was just so thrilled when we had a writer submit that to the book, because it really is a road trip of a lifetime.
That is one that I would love to do. And it's so funny, in the coolest stuff on earth, you know, I was just talking to Shelby Lees. I assume you know her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And they talk there about how spam, they in Hawaii, they eat tons and tons of spam. I had no idea. It's like the world headquarters for spam eaters. And I'm thinking
yeah,
about
it's
this.
It's in everything. It's in omelets, everything there.
It's crazy. And I thought, okay, well, I'll do this road tour, but I'm not sure about the spam. But it's just wonderful. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that you have in the book, which I really like, is the 10 food drives, which is really great.
Yeah, and you know, that one really spoke to me. I'm a big foodie, so when I travel, I like to experience the place by how they eat and what they eat. And these are some of the best food road trips that you can take. And, you know, within this top 10 list, you have some of the greats, but then you also have expanded itineraries in there, including, you know, road trips to the vineyards of South Africa. You have a trip in Portugal where you'll make your own olive oil. Or, you know, go through Italy and try balsamic vinegar and top it off at Parma and have, you know, homegrown Parmesan cheese.
Oh, that sounds good. I love food trips. I actually, when I look back on all the trips I've done, and I traveled all through Europe and Middle East and all over the world, it always comes back to the food that I ate. I remember those almost the best, or the pubs that I went to.
Mm-hmm. Those are some of the best memories that you make.
And if for the food ones, people, this Paprika in Hungary, take that tour. You will be so stuffed by the end, because I love Hungarian food, and I could eat you know, Hungarian food every day if I could find somebody who could cook it really well. But and castles. I love castles. Isn't that a wonderful section? Did you have fun with that one?
Oh, that one was so much fun. It was like seeing a fairy tale come to life. You know, we have this castle road in Germany and the Czech Republic where you see 90 castles and palaces along the way.
Wow. Wow. Oh, you know, they didn't know how to build. We can say a lot of things about, you know, royalty, but boy, I love the fact that they love to build these things that we now have today, because so, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, they gave us beautiful things to look at, that's for sure.
And the romantic road, isn't that one a beautiful one? Wow.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, whether it's going as an anniversary trip or on your honeymoon, it's just so perfect, and it's so picturesque along the way.
But there are so many places for those. Now we can start to travel in the United States, whether it's going through the Black Hills or, like I said, in the Wisconsin and you know, all sorts of places in America that are wonderful, wonderful places to travel to.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of the places in the U.S. too is not all of these are week-long excursions. You can really do some of them in a single day. They're 1 to 2 hour long drives, and you break that up over the course of the day, and you've really seen some amazing things in our own backyard.
And I understand one of the things that is selling a lot, people are buying RV campers because they want to do things in the United States. So this book is a perfect gift for anyone. First of all, it's, as I said, and it's a perfect gift just to have for yourself, but it's also a perfect gift to give, especially at Thanksgiving when so many people are going to be alone or having a very lonely time. To have a book like this arrive the day before Thanksgiving, and you open it up, and it really will fill your day.
Yes, it will, and I think it's the escape we all need right now.
Exactly. Well, you people are at Nat Geo are just wonderful. National Geographic has been around for over 100 years, giving us these wonderful books, and they are not only is this book called Drives of a Lifetime, and people can get it. You can go to the National Geographic website. Always a wonderful place to go, and you know wherever books are sold. And buy this book for yourself, and buy it and send it to buy at least one and send it, because these are also books for a lifetime. People never give away their Nat Geo books. They're just too good. Their quality is too good.
Oh, thank you.
And I think you've done a beautiful, beautiful job with this book. And I just, again, want to thank National Geographic for letting me be part of this promotion for you and for all of the people out there who, you editors, the photographers, the writers who work for National Geographic, you are doing work that brings joy to so many people. And I really am in awe of the work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. And we're happy to do it and bring the world to everyone's home.
Well, Allison Johnson, I think you are really fantastic and fascinating. And I want you again to, I was just going to ask you, you worked with Rachel Ray?
Yes, I worked at Rachel Ray Magazine for a long time, yeah.
So you got to know her?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. She's really fun. Just as she seems on TV.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, because I like her. It was funny. My husband loved to watch her show, so I thought, oh, that's cute. You actually know Rachel Ray. So, Allison Johnson,
yeah,
I think you're terrific, and you've done a wonderful job with this book. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye now. Wow.
Bye.
What a book. Oh, what a book. And I have done so many of these. You will want to get this book. Again, it's ridiculously inexpensive. And I think it's $40. It's crazy. This is like you buy flowers at the supermarket, and it costs you almost $40. This is the gift to give. This is what you have to give somebody at Thanksgiving, or Hanukkah, or Christmas, or whatever you're celebrating, somebody's birthday. As I gave my brother the coolest stuff on earth, and it's called The Coolest Stuff on Earth, A Closer Look at the Weird, Wild, and Wonderful, and I put a note in there, don't turn to page 150, because they have a big, big tarantula, and he's scared of tarantulas, and it's going to be his birthday in a few days, and he's my baby brother, so I did want to put that warning so that he won't freak out, because he freaks out a few times over the years. Let's say a big sister does these things. Occasionally, I have gifted him, you know, around Halloween when they have tarantulas. I have gifted him a tarantula or two, and he's opened up the box and freaked out. And his wife said, don't do it to him anymore. He's getting too old for that kind of thing. Or I don't know if she said that I was getting too old for that kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, all I know is tarantulas freak him out. And but it's a wonderful photograph, and you will enjoy the book. So both of these books, this has been a Nat Geo day, and I want to also just thank, I forgot to thank Giuseppe Marchi. I want to thank him so much for sending me somebody who's really hit it off with everybody here who listens to the program, and that's Haley Woolbright. Haley Woolbright is a young, she's just starting off, you know, as a matter of fact, I couldn't believe that, you know, she wasn't already world famous, because her voice sounds like she should be world famous. And we're going to help do that with her over the next few months. I'm going to play some more of her songs. As a matter of fact, I'm going to rerun on Thanksgiving Day, because I was trying to think what I wanted to play. But I'm going to definitely play some of Haley's songs on Thanksgiving Day, because they are something to be thankful for. And so that's going to be sort of a highlight of the day, I think, for many of you. You can turn it on and listen to her singing. And meanwhile, you can go and have a look at her album, Hindsight, and she's writing some more songs. And she just got married, and my goddaughter just got married. Oh, it's nice, even during this pandemic-y time. And pandemic-y is a word that I have created. I combined pandemic and icky, and pandemic-y is a word. And you can write to the Oxford English Dictionary people, or go to their Twitter account and say that Patsy with a Z has now officially named everything that happens in 2020 pandemic-y, because it really is icky, and we're getting really, really tired of it. And particularly because people can't have a normal Thanksgiving. I understand in my home state of Michigan, they've gotten really, really strict about things, and people aren't supposed to invite people over, and people can't see people. And my brother definitely is stuck up in the snow, and he would normally be down here for Thanksgiving, because that was our usual plan. But he can't make it this year, because we don't know anything that's happening. But I want to also, because it is his birthday, and he's going to get this book. So now he's heard about it. Oh, my goodness, I realize he's listening to the program. Now he knows what I'm giving. He's getting the box, and he already knows what's inside of it. Anyway, it's just, he's a great kid. He was the funniest kid you ever saw in your life. He used to stand on tables and dance and sing. I don't know if he had seen a Shirley Temple movie or something, but you take him to any place, a restaurant, he'd jump on the table, dance and sing. He's a doll. Oh, well. The years go by, and he's still as sweet as ever. One of the things, of course, and I, again, my website is radio-joyonpaper. Go there, fill in that form, and tell me about the people that you want me to interview. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, maybe a streaming video, a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So start. You don't need a computer. You don't need anything special. Just a good old-fashioned piece of paper and pencil, and you can start writing. And many authors have. And would look at Margaret George wrote 900 pages of Henry VIII all by hand, and you can do it too. Say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. He's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I want to be a general. Oh, I would look so cute in that uniform too. I just love it. I can't decide, general of what? Oh, anyway, maybe a Marine. I love Marines. Okay, bye-bye now.